Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Not Just New Movies podcast, the show where we review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. My name is Ben Pearson, and today we're going to be talking about Fred Cavalier's 2010 film Point Blank. Joining me is my regular co-host, Tyler. How's it going, sir?
Ben, you ready for Comic-Con, or as I like to call it, that place where you get to watch trailers 5 seconds before they hop on the internet?
Yes, I am. I am going to Comic-Con this year. This will be my second time there. I went in 2010, skipped 2011, and now I'm going back in 2012. We're actually leaving on Wednesday, covering that with the guys at Geek Tyrant, so that should be fun and interesting and all kinds of random stuff. So be sure to keep your browsers tuned to geektyrant.com.
You don't have any Q&As about Thor footage, because that really blew up in your guys' face last time.
I remember there being a lot of really negative comments on that video for some reason.
But I think it was because you didn't show any footage. You just talked about it.
Well, so we don't have the footage.
You're going to have to bootleg that stuff this time.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I think we're going to be doing a lot of like reactions and stuff. So don't expect any footage from us. But if you're there, then you can see it. So, yeah.
4 or 5 minutes later when it pops on the internet.
Of course. Well, if you guys are just joining us for the first time, we start every episode with the character name game, transition into our media consume section where we talk about what we've been watching, move into our review of the week, and finish with listener voicemails and emails. Spoiler alert, we have zero this week. You can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566 or email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com, and you can find this in every other episode of this podcast at notjustnewmovies.com. Tyler, I have the character name game for you.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty simple one. I'm guessing you'll get this one fairly easily, despite the fact that this character has no last name attributed to it. So, her. I'll just go ahead and say her. The character's name this week is Jules. Jules. All right. So, Jules. Keep in mind the movies that came out this past weekend, and you'll probably get it fairly quickly. So, let's transition into the media consume section. This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been watching, any sort of cool events we've been to, or, I don't know, whatever. This would be where I would talk about Comic-Con or something. So, in any case, Tyler, what have you been consuming this past week?
I recently watched a Mike Judge-written and directed film entitled Extract. Have you seen this? Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
You don't need to. It'd be funny. Said 100% comedy on the front. Not that funny. I mean, it's kind of funny. Jason Bateman, J.K. Simmons, Kristen Wiig, David Koechner, T.J. Miller, Mike Judge.
Is Mila Kunis in that?
Mila Kunis, yes. Main character. Forgot about her. Not very funny.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of people with the ability to be funny, and it was more quaint than anything. I guess it wasn't like a laugh-out-loud comedy. More of just a, hey, I kind of want to know what happens to these people. So, kind of interesting if that's what you're exactly looking for. Ben Affleck was also in it.
I know that you're a Mike Judge best friend. You're a Mike Judge fan because you like Beavis and Butthead and stuff, right?
Well, I mean, I like Office Space, Beavis and Butthead. King of the Hill is pretty funny. I don't watch it too often because it's off the air now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can laugh and chuckle along with the other Mike Judge fans, I guess.
But this one just didn't really do it for you?
Didn't really do it for me. Sorry. Try again, maybe, is what I'd suggest to him.
All right.
Even though I'm not that much of a criticizer, so I'd probably just be like, hey, you know, nice try. It just didn't really speak to me, Mike.
Yeah.
Maybe you should make some more Beavis and Buttheads, because what happened there? Like, it was like over in like 12 weeks.
Right.
What the deal, man?
I
guess they count like half Beavis and Butt half episodes as one episode, and so like he really made like 24 when in reality there were only like 12.
Ah, gotcha.
So, you know, what can you do?
Was Extract more of like a broad comedy? Because I know that one of Mike Judge's kind of more famous movies is Idiocracy, which I still don't really think is that funny, but it was kind of accurate in its predictions, a lot of them, with how like ridiculous society would be in the future, because it's like a movie where a guy wakes up in the future and things are just kind of apeshit out of control, and like stupidity has taken over the world. What kind of comedy. I mean, Extract isn't nearly anything that high concept, right?
No, it's very subtle, very dry humor. Kind of, you know, other than like maybe Ben Affleck and a couple of characters who are kind of outrageously ridiculous, just very subtle kind of, you know, Jason Bateman has that dry humor about him where he just kind of asks questions and he's the really nice guy that gets kind of bullied sometimes. So I guess those kinds of situations are fairly humorous, but not like, I just laugh so hard I'm crying.
Yeah.
Which is what I say often, I think.
Right.
Mostly because I'm already crying, I might as well laugh too.
Indeed. Okay. All right then. So Extract sounds skippable.
Yeah, I'll skip it.
Cool.
I rented it from the library for free, so joke's on somebody. I'm the one cracking the jokes now, Sailor.
All right. Do you have anything else?
Anything else? I'm done. Okay. Slow week this week. Slow week.
Slow week. All right. A couple things I wanted to mention. L.A. Noire, the video game. I don't even know what year this came out. I think I briefly mentioned it last week when I unveiled the saga of getting a new PlayStation. I've been playing this all week. I like it a lot. It's really cool. It gets a little repetitive. I'm probably like 60% through the game or something at this point. And a lot of the stuff you do is pretty much just like the same thing, but just in a little bit of a different area of town. It's pretty cool how accurate a lot of the setting and stuff is with the buildings and everything. I mean, you can drive around in Hollywood and get almost to my apartment, which is really sweet. And like drive around a lot of the areas that I walk around now. And a lot of that stuff looks almost identical to the way it did back in the 40s when the game is set. There's stuff with the Black Dahlia, which is like a famous, unsolved murder case that was going on back in the late 30s, 40s. And that kind of, crosses over into the game, and your character is trying to figure out who the Black Dahlia killer is, and that also deals with a bunch of other cases that you're working on. Spoiler alert for L.A. Noire, which is, again, a game that's like, whatever, a year old or something at this point. You find out who the Black Dahlia killer is, and then that's the halfway point of the game, which I thought was really cool from like a storytelling perspective, because when you're playing it, you feel like, oh, okay, this is going to be like the long arc, you know, the big case that you're going to be working the entire game. And then at the end, it's all going to come to a head and you're going to figure out who it is. But they make that happen halfway through. So you're still like, oh, I've done this huge, I've accomplished this huge thing, but now I still have half a game left to like explore different areas of this world and stuff. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out to that game because I like it a lot from what I've played so far. Tyler, I'm sure you might be able to sound off on that at some point when you come out here to LA to visit. Maybe give your thoughts in a future media consumed. So
yeah, it'll be a nice experience to finally play a new gen game as opposed to a GameCube, which I still sport.
Or you know, like Final Fantasy III or whatever whatever you play on your PC.
Good one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Bringing it.
All for those Final Fantasy fans out there, they get it. They get that joke. It's old, by the way. It's from like the 90s or the 80s, whenever it was. That's the joke.
Also saw Moonrise Kingdom this week. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah, I wanted to see that. Man, I'm missing out on all these movies.
It was pretty
good. I live literally across the street from a movie theater.
Oh, Tyler, that's embarrassing.
I know, right? I know, it's lazy. I don't care.
Check that stuff out,
man. Do something. Come, just give me an address.
Moonrise Kingdom is the latest film from Wes Anderson, and I'm not like a huge Wes Anderson fan. I've seen a few of his movies, not all of them. I really like Rushmore, and I didn't really care that much for Life Aquatic. I'm just telling people this just to give them a barometer of my Wes Anderson tolerance, I guess. But I actually really liked Moonrise Kingdom. It's kind of a small, simple story. It's one of those movies that just kind of makes you feel good, and it is very Wes Anderson-y. So if you're
Andersonian, perhaps,
right? If you're turned off by his kind of quirky, you know, characters that speak a little bit too advanced for their ages, or like people that wear scarves for no apparent reason, or like, you know, a lot of plaid and stuff, you know, just like his kind of stylistic hallmarks. If you're not a fan of Wes Anderson films in general, you're probably not going to like this one very much. But I thought it was fairly charming. It did get a little into kind of some ridiculous territory at the end when all the realism in the movie just kind of fell apart. I'm not really going to say what happens in it, but it's set in like a very grounded world for the most part. And then, you know, at the climax of the film, it all just kind of goes crazy. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's also kind of a staple of Anderson's work that I've seen anyway. Worlds that are just a little bit off kilter. But in any case, Moonrise Kingdom, it's got a great cast. Bill Murray's in it, Edward Norton, Bruce Willis, bunch of other people, Frances McDormand. It's really awesome. And the kids who lead the movie, I think this is their first film. They did a really good job too. So Moonrise Kingdom is out in limited release right now. I think it's expanding slowly, so you might be able to check it out in a theater near you. And then finally, this week, I wanted to talk about Batman Begins, just for like half a second, because we actually reviewed this movie on the very first episode of this podcast, which you can find at notjustnewmovies.com, the podcast archives page. You can go all the way back and track it down there. We talked about every Batman movie that had come out in theaters up until The Dark Knight. And I am now watching Batman Begins and The Dark Knight in preparation for The Dark Knight Rises, which comes out next week. I think we're only like 10 or 11 days.
Oh, is that going to be the next movie?
The next what movie? The next podcast?
The next Batman movie.
It is going to be Rises. The next Batman movie, yes.
Who's Batman this time?
Don't even
Clooney,
act.
Clooney coming back for this?
Don't.
Oh, some ice skate action.
That would be phenomenal.
And those ice skates boots, that was high technology right there.
Yeah. All right. Well, for more of that bat banter, go back and listen to our first episode. But
bat banter. Adam West would be proud.
Yeah, he would. I just wanted to bring up something in Batman Begins that I noticed this time that I hadn't really noticed before, but I've been hearing a lot of people complain about how they don't like the way that Christopher Nolan directs action. And I just wanted to address that as put on display in Batman Begins. I think a lot of people's problem comes with how kind of disjointed a lot of the editing is in his fight sequences and stuff. I think for the most part that's done on purpose, in the same way that like Paul Greengrass and Doug Liman used quick editing and stuff in the Bourne franchise to make you feel like you're kind of in there with the character, and they didn't put the camera really far back and do like one steady shot or anything. It's very like chopped up, and you're kind of like, you see flashes of elbows cracking against skulls and stuff, but you don't really have a good sense of where they're coming from or where everybody is in relation to each other. The geography of these scenes is a little kind of crazy. So it's like that in the Bourne series, because the main character, the protagonist, is, you know, he's got these memory issues and all these, this training is coming back to him. In Batman Begins, it's done, I think, stylistically on purpose to kind of evoke the shadowy nature of Batman and have us, the audience, feel like the thugs in the movie, where like, wow, this guy really is kind of larger than life. And you know, that's a big part of Batman Begins, is the identity of Batman kind of creating that the superhero persona, the theatricality and all that kind of stuff. That's a big part of that movie, and I think it comes across in the editing for the most part, where, you know, the camera's just like spinning around and it shows flashes of Batman's cape and like a fist and just like random stuff, but again, don't really know exactly who's being hit, what's going on. They're just bodies kind of flying everywhere. I see what people are saying, because I noticed it a lot more this time than I have in previous viewings of this film. And I think what Nolan's trying to do makes sense, but I don't think he's doing it as well as he would have liked, maybe, because there are certain times when it's like a little overkill. Like, I can see why somebody would want to use that as a device, as a storytelling device, but as a director, you have to realize, okay, we need to shoot more footage, and we can cut this together any way we want, but we need to at least shoot the footage of, you know, this angle from, you know, people punching people from this angle or whatever, so people have an idea of where this is going to, and then maybe cut to that later. And it seems like Nolan just kind of didn't shoot enough, didn't get enough coverage, as they call it in the biz. So I don't know. I just noticed that complaint, and I feel like it's a relatively valid one for people. I need to go back and watch Inception again and some of the other Nolan films that don't have anything to do with Batman to see if there's a consistency in the lack of, I don't know, lack of direction, I guess, in the editing when it comes to that kind of stuff. So just a little thing that I wanted to bring up. The movie is still really good. And again, you can go back and listen to the first episode of this podcast for much, much more on Batman Begins. In the meantime, though, let's go ahead and move on into our review of Point Blank.
Je veux pas d'emmerde. Je veux juste récupérer ma femme.
Le patient qui était là, il est où?
Il était à 2 mètres, c'est bête. Alors me laisser la place.
Tu vois?
Direction ligne 3, l'escalator.
Je l'ai payé tous les deux. Vous savez ce que vous avez à faire?
Oui, monsieur. Vous pouvez la retrouver avant que la crème s'en mêle.
Cette fois-ci, si vous le loupez, c'est moi qui vous louperai pas.
Comment ça s'arrête là?
C'est dehors alors, tu me rappelles, vous mordez ma femme! Maintenant!
Alright, so Point Blank came out in 2010. This is a French action thriller directed by Fred Cavalier, and it stars, I'm gonna butcher these names, and I apologize in advance. I believe it's Giles Lelouch, or Lelouché, and Rashdi Zem. I'll just leave it at that. So, basic story, a nurse's aide who has a pregnant wife ends up saving a guy's life who gets hit by a motorcyclist in the opening scene, and then this person is involved with like a web of conspiracy, and the nurse's aide's wife ends up getting taken hostage, and he has to kind of go on like a one-day adventure to get her back and kind of uncover all of this conspiracy stuff that's been going on. So Tyler, what did you think about Point Blank?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool movie for the chase scenes. I guess I was expecting Hard Boiled when it said the body count rises, and I assumed, oh, they're going to have like 3,000 people die in this movie. Not the case. A couple people bit the dust, but most of it was just kind of just chase scenes being chased through groups of people. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe they meant body count with like actual bodies as opposed to dead bodies, like just people wandering around. Because that last scene at the police department was, like, insane, where it was just, like, people everywhere.
Yeah.
Just screaming and yelling, and it was kind of like an asylum, perhaps an Arkham Asylum. I know a Batman movie coming out soon, Ben?
No, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
So I liked it. It got a little muddy towards the middle, and I got a little sleepy towards the middle, but once it pulled itself out, you kind of got what was going on, and you got the... you know, your general run-of-the-mill corrupt cops working with some baddies.
Yeah.
Guy doesn't really know what's going on, falls in the middle of it, don't know who to turn to, don't know who to trust. It writes itself.
Yeah.
Even the French can do it.
It's funny
to
mention.
They can make the connection, Ben.
I think the French connection, nice. there have been a lot of really good French action movies over the past couple years. There's one called Sleepless Night that I think is on demand right now, and there's one that I haven't seen Sleepless Night. I've heard it's really good. And then there's one called Tell No One that is supposedly getting an American remake sometime in the next couple years, and that actually is a really good movie. And again, with the chase sequences and stuff, they really, like, the French really know what they're doing when it comes to movies about people being chased.
Got like 10,000 roads in Paris, so, I mean, you probably have to be an expert with chase movies, because you have, like, so many roads to do it on.
Yeah, and even, like, The Transporter, I guess, technically is a French movie, the first one, because it takes place in France, and I think Luc Besson, who's, like, a renowned French action filmmaker, wrote the story and might have even directed the first one. I'm not sure about that. Nice. But the Jason Statham franchise, the Transporter movies, is what I'm talking about.
Super Schwett.
I liked the movie. I thought the pacing was really good all the way through. It's a really short movie. I mean, it's only like, whatever, hour 25 or something. And it starts out with a chase, which I thought was great. Any movie that kind of like grabs you like that from the beginning definitely has my attention. And this movie did that. I feel like in a lot of lesser films, the plot would have slowed down way more, or the pacing rather would have slowed down way more. But this one just kind of kept things going. It reminded me a little bit of Collateral, which is another movie that I watched this week. The Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx film, where a guy, you know, just like a normal everyday guy, gets thrown into this crazy scenario where he's dealing with, you know, gangsters and all these people that are like way out of his element. And he's basically kind of taken hostage. In this case, his wife is taken hostage, but he's attaching himself to different people trying to fight his way through to get his wife back. So I thought there were some interesting parallels between this film and Collateral. I think Collateral might actually be a little bit slower of a film than this one, just because this one's so much shorter and it really does have a great pacing to it. So I think, you know, we talked last week or maybe the week before about how we always say at the end of the podcast whether or not we think people should see it, like after we've already ruined everything and like everybody's already listened all the way through to that point.
Yeah, that's our MO.
But I think I'll take this opportunity to just tell people, if you haven't seen the movie yet, I would recommend it. It's on Netflix, watch instantly right now. And like I said, it's a really quick movie, and I think it's got some great action scenes and some really awesome chase stuff, like right in the very beginning and then again later on near the middle of the film. So
spoiler alert, the French person dies.
Well, yeah, I mean, getting back into our normal MO, the spoiler alerts and all of that stuff are now in effect. Another specific parallel I drew to Collateral is that the one police officer who believes the protagonist is shot in the movie. So Mark Ruffalo is in Collateral and he just gets completely obliterated in that movie. And then this chick, I don't even know her name, but the female captain or female cop who's kind of professional rivals, I guess, with Werner, ends up getting shot in the head here, and she's the only one who believes Sam, the main character, that he is actually just being kind of forced into this scenario and that he's not doing all this of his own accord. So I thought that was another cool little connection there. Nice. So what did you think about the action in the movie? I mean, did you think it felt like something that you'd seen before, or was there anything in there that you were like, oh wow, this one particular thing really kind of caught you off guard, or what?
There were a couple scenes, like when I guess when he like woke him up with adrenaline or whatever, and he's like had to take him out of the hospital. It wasn't really action; it was more just kind of a cool scene where he was trying to get him out, and he's like stopping at the desks and avoiding the police and getting on the bus and stuff. And, I don't know, kind of suspenseful, I suppose.
Yeah.
It was the freaking chase scene at the beginning was pretty sweet, because I didn't expect that coming.
Yeah.
Nothing really jumps to mind. I did watch it today, but I'm still in kind of post-vacation mode, so I'm still kind of drowsy.
Right. Well, there's also, I mean, the movie is really straightforward, and it's very I mean, the pacing and stuff doesn't really do it any favors for you to be able to sit there and like think about what's really going on, because it's not that kind of movie. You know, it's just like a quick action movie, whatever. Like, there's not really too much going on underneath the surface. I mean, the biggest question you can really, or I guess like big idea that you can really pull from this movie, in my opinion, it's just like the concept of, this is just a normal guy trying to do the right thing by saving, what is his name? Sarte, by saving that guy's life who gets hit by the motorcycle in the beginning.
Right.
He like goes out of his way to to save this guy, even though he's, like, legally not supposed to, because that doctor was, like, bitching him out for it.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, like, a guy trying to do the right thing, and then all of this craziness happens to him as a result of that. So it's, like, what is this movie really trying to say in, you know, on just, like, the
right.
human nature, like, just the human condition. Should we do the right thing? Or maybe just a commentary that, like, hey, even people who try to do the right thing all the time, that doesn't necessarily give them a pass in life.
Don't trust cops.
I don't think that's the message that you can pull from Point Blank, but yeah, I mean, yeah. Like you said, that part of it is fairly standard. You know, corrupt cops kill this really rich guy because the kid wants inheritance, blah blah blah. All that stuff is really kind of secondary to the main plot of the movie, those are just like details that get filled in. The real thrust of this movie comes in the action and how it's directed, and I think maybe the performances from the leads, which I thought were really good. And you know, I'd never seen any of these guys act in anything before. Sure. I thought the music was actually cool too. It was by Claus Badel or Baday. I don't know how to say his name, but he's the guy who did the music for the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, he sounds French.
Yeah. Definitely. Klaus, maybe, yeah, German? I don't know.
Klaus Dierman? No, it sounds German. Yeah, he's freaking reminds me of the skit from Carol Burnett where, I don't know if you know anything about the Carol Burnett show, but Harvey Korman, I think, plays a character named Male Nurse Peterson. And they always put it over the PA, you know, in the hospital, like, Male Nurse Peterson, come to the emergency room.
Right.
And he wears the nurse outfit, I think.
Right.
And they all make fun of him because he's a male nurse. That's kind of what was playing through my mind the entire time.
Like,
he's not even a nurse. He's just a male nurse aide.
Yeah.
And he can't do jack squat. He just sits around and makes sure that nobody dies, I guess.
Yeah, he's like waiting to take his test.
Seems really easy to do. Like, can anybody do that?
To kill someone or to make sure they don't die?
No, yeah, to make sure they don't die.
Oh, okay.
Like, they just listen for the machines to go off, and then they go, this guy's dying. Like, that's their job, and then they clock out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Let's talk about the medical field right now, Ben. Let's go into this tangent.
If we have any male or nurse aides, maybe who are listening
let's narrow it down to only male nurse aides, please.
Okay.
Let's not make the sample size too large.
All right, because we get an abundance of emails that we have to filter through.
Right, mostly nurse aides, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, anyway, shoot us an email, notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. Let us know if you think this movie's accurate in its...
Please put nurse aide in the subject line so we know what we're talking about.
Definitely, absolutely. You must, or we'll delete it.
Don't spell it incorrectly, because
it might create
a controversy.
You mentioned in the very beginning of our discussion about this how the end of the movie, there's just like hundreds of people in the police station at the end. I thought that was really...
Possibly hundreds of floors in that building as well.
Yeah. I thought
skyscraper.
It was cool that the way that Sarté organized those gangs to, like, you know, knock over hundreds of places at the same time all across town, just so he could have, like, kind of orchestrate that chaos so he could walk back into the police station, because that's the one place that they needed to go. And a lot of times you put, you know, from a writing standpoint, you put characters in impossible situations, and then the fun of it is watching how they, you know, once they get backed into a corner, how they escape from these scenarios or kind of fight through their situations and come out on the other side. And I thought that was an interesting one. Like, make these two guys, Sarté and Sam, the main character, you know, the most wanted people in the city, plaster their faces all over flyers and TV and stuff, and then have the one place that they have to go be back into the middle of the police station to pull this USB drive out of the main bad guy's office. So I thought that was kind of a cool way of doing that, with him, you know, like, going out to his street crime brethren and organizing this big thing, and like having all of those guys be willing to just like bite the bullet and go to prison. Or, well, I don't know if they like got prosecuted, but
I wish Sarte had seen National Treasure, where Nicolas Cage figured out that there were two L's in the password, Valley Forge with two L's.
Mm.
And with the number code, somebody might have pushed that 5 twice instead of just once. So he could have, there definitely could have been a chance that none of those combinations work because there were duplicate numbers in the combination.
Yeah, and I liked that little gadget he had in his phone where it was like 126 combinations or whatever.
Yeah, you just type in like 5 numbers and see different combinations. Probably a real application.
That was pretty cool. But
I pay 99 cents for that.
That whole thing also reminded me a little bit of a pretty ridiculous movie, which is Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yep. Luda!
Didn't think I'd be bringing that one up during this discussion, did you? So
you mentioned Luda.
There's a part in Too Fast, Too Furious where the main characters are being chased, and they pull into a garage, and they have organized...
Wait, Ben, can I stop you there? Do they do it fast?
Oh, yeah.
And do they do it probably with some fury?
I think so, yeah. There's definitely
very interesting. Continue.
Present, yeah. So anyway, they pull into this garage, and they're being chased by a helicopter. And there's this really cool shot where a bunch of garage doors open and then, like, you know, whatever, 50 or 100 cars all drive out and they all look pretty similar, you know, with the
right.
Fast and the Furious type thing. And it's a similar type of thing where, you know, you organize this big group, orchestrated chaos, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Paul Walker's a genius.
Yes.
Have we ever said that on this show?
I don't think so, but it needs
to be said.
Needs to be on the business card.
By the way, BTW, Paul Walker's a genius. I heard somewhere on another podcast that, like, Vin Diesel, before he made it big, every weekend he would rent, like, for $10,000, he would rent, like, this really fast car, really nice-looking car, and, like, drive up to this hot spot in L.A. just to get discovered. Like, that's how...
Really?
He got his first job, I guess, was just rolling up, like, acting like he was rich and famous and getting work that way.
How did he afford to rent the expensive car?
Maybe he was selling his body on the side.
I know he was a bouncer on the side.
Maybe.
Because I think he's got like a reality show about that now or something. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, just
Fast Six, Fast Furious. Wait, Fast Six, Six Furious? I don't know.
Something like that. But getting back, though, the one other thing I had written down about that kind of seemingly impossible scenario was during the police station chaos at the end, there's a scene where the guy in the Sam... I think is in the office looking for his wife, and she's getting her ass handed to her by the pregnant wife is getting like beaten up by the bad corrupt female cop or whatever.
Right.
And the guy's like, I don't know, somehow a floor away from her, and he's in his own kind of fight, and craziness is going on there. That guy, there's like, he runs into this dude's office, and there's like a transvestite in there, and the guy, the police officer in the office, realizes that Sam is the one that everybody's been looking for, so he basically just like kicks the crap out of him. I don't even remember how he gets out of that scenario. Do you? You just saw it.
No,
right?
it just skips to.
Okay.
Like they're fighting, and then he kind of finds a gun, I guess. And then it cuts back to the woman getting beat, and then Sam just shows up.
Yeah, that was...
So we assume he gets out of the office and finds the room that she's in, out of that 1,200-story building.
Right, that was...
Finds the right room.
That was the thing I was going to bring up, was, like, I liked how this movie did a really good job, for the most part, of putting people in these crazy scenarios and then realistically giving them a way out that I didn't really see coming. But that was, like, one of the bigger gaffes on their part, was having him just randomly show up in that bathroom where the wife was just getting ready to get shoved out of the window.
Right.
I was like, yeah, that didn't really that kind of stretched the bounds of reality this movie had created up until that point. But yeah, I mean,
and
like,
then Vin Diesel rolled up.
Can we just turn this into like a Fast Five review?
That was excellent.
No,
and then there was the battle between the Vin Diesel and the The Rock, and they were just smashing buildings. It was glorious.
In all seriousness, I'm really looking forward to Fast 6 or whatever it's called. But
who isn't, Ben?
I know.
It was funny, the episode of Workaholics this week, they, I guess it was filmed before G.I. Joe was pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole episode, part of the episode was them complaining about how Anders went and saw G.I. Joe Retaliation without them, and they were like wearing their costumes to go to G.I. Joe Retaliation. And like one of them was Shipwreck and one of them was Sergeant Slaughter. And like they were dressed up as the most obscure characters from the cartoon. Wow. And it was just funny because I was like, hey, they pushed that movie back. Man, and nobody's going to get it.
Like the one movie that they chose got pushed back. That's pretty hilarious. I'm surprised they still aired that episode, but I guess.
No, it was funny. It was funny.
All right.
I think it's funnier because
They,
like in that universe, G.I. Joe Retaliation came out on time, like under budget.
Alternate timeline.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, honestly, that's a lot of the stuff that I had written down here. That, like we said, the movie's fairly straightforward. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention about it, Tyler?
Nah, we can close this case.
Okay.
Case closed.
Indeed.
No cold files here.
All right. Well, you want to bust open the Apple II and tell people what we're going to be watching next week?
Sure do, Ben. Let me crank her open. Crank the lever. Let's crank the lever. All right. I hope you like a Bruce Willis movie, Ben. Do you like Bruce Willis movies?
I think so, yeah.
Have you heard of the Die Hard quadrilogy?
I have.
Oh. Well, we're watching The Fifth Element.
All right, good transition. I thought you might be announcing that we were going to watch Live Free, or not that one.
Free and Fifth Element.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, which is the third movie, which would have been a good follow-up to...
That one's terrible.
Die Hard 1 and 2, which we actually already have talked about on this podcast. So I'm people can go back and listen to that episode.
You would think Samuel L. Jackson as an addition would make it a lot better, but... It doesn't.
Okay.
And they're in Harlem in that one, right?
I believe so. It's...
And then Hans Gruber's brothers, like, digging for gold or something?
Spoiler alert, dude.
Is that a reveal?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's established fairly early on.
I don't know about that. We'll have to ask Panther Joe. That's, like, the movie that he swears by in that series.
Yeah, that's his favorite one.
All right. Well, yes, we will be watching The Fifth Element. That movie is available on Netflix. Watch it instantly right now. So check it out. Shoot us an email, and notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about it. You can call and leave us a voicemail. That would be preferable, actually, at 904-469-6566. Let us know what you think about Point Blank, if you got a chance to check that one out, Fifth Element, or any of the movies that we've talked about here on the show. You can subscribe for free to this podcast in iTunes. It's GeekTyrant-NJNM in the iTunes store. Leave us a review. That would be awesome. Check us out on Facebook. We're on Facebook.com/NotJustNewMovies and on Twitter, Twitter.com/NJNMPodcast.
Ben, you know what you can do at Facebook right now?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And you can freaking join this event and get us 30,000 fans. A lot of people are joining. Mm-hmm. Some of them are starting to figure out that you also should fan the podcast page.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can just get that message out there, that's all the better. So we've got however many people coming to an event that actually isn't going to happen. There's no place... I think it says the Ginger Dead verse, which is of your creation.
Yep.
Not a real place, people. So if you're wondering when this event is going to occur, it's not, because it exists in a place that we are not. So just go over there and fan us at facebook.com/notjustnewmovies. We can get 600 fans. Ben, you, I, Panther Joe, possibly Gary Busey, I don't know. We'll watch Ginger Dead Man 3. Saturday Night Cleaver, for the fans who fan us on Facebook. Yes. We know it's what you're clamoring for. We know it's what you want. Why not just work with us here? 600 friends, it's not a lot to ask. Considering statistics show we could have 30,000, 600, not that bad.
Yeah.
Do us proud. Eat a ginger dead man while you're at it. And, come on by. Say hi.
Yeah.
We'll keep the light on for you.
That's a pretty good pitch. I think the one thing that might actually get people to to kind of take some action instead of just joining the event or you liking us yourself on Facebook. The whole point of it is so you invite all of the rest of your Facebook friends to also like us. And that is actually what the event is supposed to be. It's just like a dissemination or something of our name throughout the interwebs of Facebook. So yeah,
the Ginger Deadverse, as we call it.
Right. You can do that now if you want. You don't have to wait for like the predetermined date. Just go ahead and do it, and then hopefully we'll get to 600 followers or fans or whatnot. So that would be pretty great.
I believe that's called going viral.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
If we can accomplish that, then we can pretty much call it a day.
Okay.
Retire.
All right. Well, speaking of calling it a day, let's wrap this thing up with the character name game. So the character's name was Jules. Do you have any idea what movie that character is from? Keeping in mind there has to be a connection to a movie that came out in wide release this past weekend.
Is this an Emma Stone character?
It is an Emma Stone character.
Is it a movie that features Jonah Hill, maybe?
It is.
Maybe a little McLovin.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little bit of Seth Rogen,
yep.
Perhaps.
There's a lot of McLovin and a lot of Seth.
Maybe, I don't know, like a Michael Cera guy.
Yes.
Nick and Nora, not funny. Not enjoyable at all, by the way. Yeah, if you were wondering why Michael Cera wasn't too keen on hopping on the Arrested Development movie, it's probably because he had a lot of shitty movies to make. So, yeah. Anyway, is it Superbad?
It is Superbad, yes. Right. Thank you for that.
Rag on him for a second.
That tirade, yes. And, of course, Emma Stone stars in The Amazing Spider-Man, which was out in theaters this past week.
Is that a sequel to Spider-Man 2?
No, it's not.
Is that Doc Ock in this one?
It's a reboot. Nothing having to do with the...
Oh, of course he wears boots, Ben. He's Spider-Man. He needs that grip of those buildings. Much like those boots that Batman and Robin had, and those skates popped out of them, because there was ice to be skated on. They couldn't, not enough grip.
Yeah, yeah.
Not enough boot grip.
No, you're thinking of actual boots. I'm talking about reboots. Let's end this before this
seems
goes.
Seems like a dictionary term I need to look up. Immediate mont. That's French.
Okay.
Immediately.
Just like this movie. All right.
Say what? It's Francais.
All right, let's go back and forth and tell people where they can find.
I like that character. He is surly.
On the internet, Tyler, where can people track you down?
SellerSandal.blogspot.com. Twitter handle NJNM podcast.
There you go. All right. Well, people can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/BenPears. Writing all kinds of Comic-Con related stuff this week at GeekTyrant.com. You can also read my writing at firstshowing.net and filmonic.com and my reviews at notjustthemovies.com, the namesake for this podcast. Music for this episode is going to come courtesy of the Point Break skydiving scene soundtrack, not Point Blank, the movie that we reviewed, because I looked around and I couldn't really find any score from it, so I really like the music for the Point Break skydive scene. So that's
I'm an FBI agent.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what's happening. Deal with it.
Johnny, right. Utah.
Well, as Tyler mentioned, we will be watching The Fifth Element for next week, so check that out and be sure to tune in next week. And I think we'll probably be a little bit delayed because of Comic-Con, but the episode should be posted Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest, I'm guessing. So
we'll definitely talk about all those trailers that premiere at Comic-Con.
Yes.
5 seconds before they go on the internet.
Thank you for being cynical about that. All right, and thank you, listeners, for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
We love you guys. Bye.